Perhaps you've heard, Kenneth Lonergan's exquisite new film, Manchester by the Sea, is getting Oscar buzz. Casey Affleck stars as Lee, a shattered soul whose robotic life as a janitor is disrupted when his older brother Joe dies. And Joe's lawyer tells Lee he's got to come home to Manchester by the Sea to raise Joe's son Patrick, Lee's 16-year-old nephew.
I don't understand.
Which part are you having trouble with?
Well, I can't be his guardian.
Well,
I mean, I can't.
Why Lee feels he can't and what drove him from this town is revealed. We'll not be giving it away, but suffice it to say, children are lost. Kenneth Lonergan wrote and directed Manchester by the Sea and joins us from the Marketplace Studios in Los Angeles. Kenneth, welcome and congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
And the genesis was an idea pitched to you by Matt Damon, which was pitched to Matt by his friend John Krasinski, the actor. The idea of a man having to suddenly take care of a deceased brother's son. What pulled you in?
Just that. The idea that he had to do that and that he was also had to go home to a place he never wanted to see again because of a tragedy that drove him away. And the idea of someone dutifully trying to take care of someone else despite the emotional burden that he's carrying around.
Yeah, boy is he. And we're not going to go too far into the plot points at all, but you mentioned family tragedy. I was in the theater wondering who's making those noises during certain scenes. It was me sobbing, you know, and we feel how unbearable it was for him. How could you stay with this tragic plot point in the writing of this? How did you live with that?
Well, there's a difference between a tragedy and a piece of fiction and a tragedy in real life, as we all know. There's something, I think, I don't know if I like the word cathartic, but there's something that about processing these experiences through a fictional medium that makes them engaging and I think gives you a release of some kind in some way that feels good instead of terrible. Mm-hmm. So when you're writing it, it's much the same thing. You take it seriously and you get emotional when you're working on it and you try to believe the circumstances as much as you can, but it's simply not the same thing as having it actually happen to you.
It's an incredible moment. And you underscore it with extraordinary music. The female composer, Leslie Barber, composed much of the film's score. But then there's an Adagio per archi e organo in Sol Minore by Tommaso Albinoni, a pastoral symphony from the Messiah, and He Shall Feed His Flock from the Messiah.
Feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arm, with his arm.
Talk about the use of this classical music against this sort of hardscrabble fishing village, blue-collar life.
Well, the music isn't meant to be a reflection of the music that the characters listen to. I think it's a reflection of the world around them in some way. It's just this very, very light, extremely exquisite, beautiful, lyrical music over these pretty, you know, some of the events are pretty serious or pretty fraught, but the whole world doesn't become fraught when you do. Mm. You can be driving along on your way to a very serious assignation of some kind, and if you're passing by the ocean is still there with the water and the light bouncing off of it, and there's something very beautiful and indifferent about nature when you're going through these things. And I think the music helps to give some of that perspective to the story. Mm. There's also a slight religious feeling in the sense of, you know, the universal feeling that religion can bring, and the sense of beauty on top of things that are less than beautiful. I have heard some people feel the music doesn't quite go with the story, but I don't really feel that way. I really like the music in terms of how it throws a different light on the story. It gives the film, I hope, a little perspective that it wouldn't have otherwise.
Well, you know, I disagree with those people who criticized it because it gave these lives a majesty. You know, why not opera?
You know? Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Thank you. The New Yorker says the film burrows into the mind of a man who experiences a trauma that neither kills him nor makes him stronger, but rather leaves him maimed. Did you feel ever the pull to make him whole?
Well, I don't know how anyone becomes whole, you know, after you suffer certain losses. I think it's a little bit misleading or a little bit, you know, it feels insincere and not respectful of the circumstances to have a happy Hollywood ending to something that you've laid out as being a very serious situation and you're trying to find the emotional truth of it. But I will say that I think the character, you know, the more I think about the film after having made it, and I think about Casey Affleck's performance and the way we filmed it, and this is a guy who's really goes from wanting to shut out everyone to being extremely attached to his nephew, who he simply can't take care of the way they would both like him to. But by the end of the film, they're very comfortable with each other, and they're very attached to each other. And I don't feel like he's going, I don't want to ruin the ending, but it's not a big surprise ending either. This is somebody who in every scene is trying very hard to do the right thing, even with his limited equipment and even though he's suffered this terrible blow.
Talk about the ensemble that you had here. Casey Affleck, Lucas Hedges playing Patrick, Michelle Williams, Casey Affleck's ex, who also suffered that tremendous loss.
Well, I'm just lost in admiration for the cast. I think these are actors who are as fine as any actors working in the world. Casey gives a magnificent performance. You just see what he's carrying around with him without a lot of dialogue sometimes to help him express what's inside of him. And Michelle, she would just show up on the set and do these beautiful scenes and then go away and come back the next week. And Lucas is just this great young kid who's got tremendous vulnerability and emotional transparency, and also does a beautiful character turn as a scrappy hockey playing garage band strumming kid from New England when he's actually a private school kid from New York City from a theater family.
You also, of course, mentioned Michelle Williams, who plays Lee's ex-wife, who seems to be able to get in touch of some of this unbearable emotion, who seems to be someone who might somehow patch over her wound. Here's a scene between the two of them.
I know you've been around, and
just been getting Patrick settled in.
It seems like he's doing pretty good, huh, considering?
I think he is, yeah.
I guess you don't know this, but I really kept in touch with Joe. It's been kind of weird for me not seeing Patrick. I didn't know.
You could see him if you want.
Could we ever have lunch?
You mean us, you and me?
Yeah.
Kenneth Lonergan, this isn't a quarrel, but it's a question. At this point, as an audience member, you're aching for them to please talk about what happened. And she maybe wanted to, he can't.
Yeah.
You're the writer.
I had them say what I thought they would say if it was a real story. And I think they know what happened between them. They have this shared history. They're no longer together. They're not going to be together anymore. And yet they're very much still care about each other. And she's desperately trying to save him. He's really gone under. Mm. You know, it's not like they can crack open and feel better about it. It's a loss that just has to become folded into who you are eventually. And time only can heal these kinds of wounds, and they don't even or cover them over or make them bearable. And it's not so much that I was interested in investigating the degree of pain that a person can go through, because nobody needs me to do that for them. But there are people walking around who've suffered terrible losses. And the main reason you feel such a loss so keenly is because people have such deep feelings for each other. And that seems to be the only thing that can save people when they've been through something like this. But I don't like the sentimental lie that you can have closure and move on and realizing that it's all one big beautiful circle of life. I don't think people feel like life is a big beautiful circle when they're really in distress. And I hope it's a worthy contribution to make a story about what it's really like to deal with some of these things, not just how bad it is, but also how brave and loving people are under these circumstances.
That's writer-director Kenneth Lonergan. His new film is Manchester by the Sea. Kenneth, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And this is some of Leslie Barber's exquisite original score. This is the Manchester by the Sea Chorale. You're listening to Here and Now.